Good morning, boys and girls. We're turning to Psalm 1 again. We just sung it again. We sung it on Tuesday. But it's a lovely psalm. And I tell you, you can never sing it enough. There's some wonderful truths set forth in it. And I want us to have another look at that psalm, because we couldn't possibly set forth everything that's in the psalm and worthy of note in one lesson. So we're going to look at it again. Now, since we've sung it just now, and you actually read the psalm among yourselves there before the singing, the metrical version of it, so we're ready to go. And particularly, we're going to start with verse 3. Now, we're talking about the blessed man, the happy man. And in verse 3 it says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Think on that. The godly person, whatever they're engaged in, shall prosper. It brings to my mind Joseph, and you remember how Joseph ended up in jail. And yet, even though the brothers had conspired against him and he was sold as a slave, and they ended up as a slave in the household of a high official in the Egyptian government, we'll call him that. And even though the wife of that home turned out to be a deceitful, lying woman that slandered and falsely accused Joseph, and he was down again, and he was now really in jail because of this. But every time he went down, God's favor was there. Sold as a slave, yet favored when he arrived in Egypt. Deceitfully and wickedly slandered by the wife of the household in which he was. Nevertheless, even though he was thrown into jail, God's favor remained with him. And the jailer took a liking to him. And you know the rest of the story. He ended up second to Pharaoh. The favor of God was always there in that man. No matter what circumstances overtook him, the favor of God was always there. And boys and girls, let me tell you, God says that's how it will be with you and with me if we walk with God and obey his word. And that's a glorious truth. The world searches for such success, but it can't find it. It thinks by, to use a term that I'm sure you're familiar with, the world thinks that by licking up to great men, it will get success. But it's by obeying God, loving God, humbly seeking to obey him, that's how you obtain good success in life. All right, let's look then at the psalm and pick out some things that we didn't notice last time. The first thing I want you to notice is this. Nature, that is, that out there in the world, in the field, in the hedgerow, in the woods, and in the sky. Nature helps us to understand God's truth and its effect upon our soul. Did you see what it said in verse 3? He shall be like a tree, like a tree. The godly man is like a tree, a special tree, a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. Now, I've said it before, boys and girls, and I'll say it again. And if I'm spared, I'm sure I'll tell you it many times in the future. You have the Bible, in which is revealed to you in fullness God and his purpose, his plans. But you have a second book that, to a lesser degree, reveals God. And it's the book of nature, out there, flying in the sky, running on the ground, growing up out of the ground. There are things that instruct us in righteousness and teach us the ways of God. And here we have it in the Psalms, set forth. The godly man is like a tree. So when you go out there and look at the hedge, you have a picture given us of God of what it means to be godly. This morning, before I came down here, I read some chapters from the Bible. And one of them was the chapter 13 of the Gospel of Matthew. I follow a Bible reading calendar drawn up, well over 100 years ago, 150, 60, 70 years ago, by a man, a Scottish minister called Robert Murray McShane. I always advertise this wee book because I believe it is one of the best books that ever came from the hand of man. Because if you follow his reading plan, I find that God in his sovereignty taught that man, showed that man how to lay out this reading calendar in such a fashion as to link together very important chapters. I don't think that he could have possibly fully understood what it was he was accomplishing. But God, behind it all, behind the labors of this man setting out his Bible reading calendar, set forth for us a wonderful scheme of reading whereby we are linked day by day to chapters that all correspond and help us to understand what the Bible says. But in Matthew chapter 13, the Lord Jesus tells a lot of parables, seven parables. And then again and again and again and again and again in the parables, he says, the kingdom of God is like. And then he points the people to that which is around them. A man going forth to sow seed. And everybody listening to him would have understood what that meant. They could immediately see it in their mind. And yet here was a glorious truth of the gospel set forth. Set forth wonderfully. Well, I'll not refer any more to that, but if you happen to read Matthew 13, you'll see the little word like again and again and again. Because God's kingdom, his spiritual heavenly kingdom, is pictured for us out there. Even as we read, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Well, here in this country, trees never have a shortage of water. Never. It's always raining. And it's coming down on the tree all the time. And it can take in life-giving water through its roots and also absorb the raindrops that fall upon the leaves. But in Israel and countries like that, not all trees had such a supply of water. And in desert lands, you will always be able to see the water hole, the river, by the fact that there's greenery all around where the water is. Away from the river, sand. Nothing but scorching sand. But along the river bank, trees, shrubs, flowers. Because they have a source of water. And keep that in mind when you come to the picture given us here. The godly man is like a tree not planted in the middle of the desert, dying of thirst, but like a tree planted by the rivers. Didn't I tell you many times, notice every word? It doesn't say by a river, but it says, look at verse 3, planted by the rivers of water. Now that is chosen by God, for he put the word rivers in there, in order to illustrate to you that the godly man has an abundant supply of water. Not just one river, but a river. Rivers of water, an abundant supply of nourishment and refreshment is found for the godly man who walks in obedience to God. His footsteps will keep him ever beside the source of life and nourishment. The Lord Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You see that book there? Do you know where it came from? Oh, we might say a printer's, a bookseller, but what is written in that book came from the mouth of God. We have to very carefully handle that book and reverence that book because its words came from the mouth of God. Oh yes, they were written down by men, like Peter and John and Matthew and the psalmist. But the words they wrote down came from the mouth of God. How often you read in the scriptures the prophet saying, thus saith the Lord. They were giving you the words that came from the mouth of God. Boys and girls, that's what the Bible is. And no other book in the world of which this can be said. And nature helps us to understand this. When we see a tree flourishing because it's drinking up the waters that have come from heaven, you have a picture of the Christian who's walking with God. Then again, the godly man will have a life that will be very fruitful. Look at what it says again, verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. The Christian walking with God, planted by the rivers of water, will bring forth fruit. Bring forth fruit. Notice it says, his fruit. You see, each one of you should be bearing fruit that is distinctly yours. Again, nature illustrates this. If we go into a store, into a shop, over there to the fruit counter, oh, there's apples, there's pears, there's oranges, bananas, there's tangerines, there's grapes, and I've run out of names, but you know there are even more fruits that are there, and they all grew on different trees. Now, the banana tree would never bring forth an apple, and the apple tree would never bring forth grapes. Each tree brings forth its own fruit, and that's the way it is with you, boys and girls. God has that which he wants to see in your life. Only you can bear the fruit that God wants. The one beside you can't do it. They'll be bringing forth their fruit. And God's looking to you to bring forth fruit for him. That's yours. And yours alone. Yours alone. Well, the orchard of God. That's what the church is like. An orchard. We don't often see orchards. But when I was a lad, almost every farmhouse had an orchard. I remember my grandma's very, very well. And there were a variety of trees in it. There were pear trees, apple trees, cherry tree. There was a cooking apple tree, as well as an eating apple tree. Or trees, I should say, because the orchard probably took up a couple of acres. And God has an orchard. And here's part of God's orchard, right here today. And each one of you who see it, you're like a tree. Are you bringing forth the fruit that God wants you to bring forth? Fruits of holiness. Fruits of obedience to God. Purity of life. It says that the tree brings forth its fruit in its season. Do you see that, verse 3? In its season. Out there, the trees don't bear fruit all the time. They're certainly not bearing fruit at this time of the year. But somehow or other, the tree knows its season. And it'll bring forth its fruit in its season. Some fruit trees bring forth fruit earlier than others, because each one has a season. And so it is with you and with me. We ought to bring forth in our lives, in our season, what God wants to see. As I was thinking on this, I thought back to a great man of God called William Carey. You probably have learned about him in one of your classes. Pioneer of missionary work. He went to India as a missionary. Oh boy, what troubles he ran into. And there was no fruit from his labours there for 7 years. And then he had a convert. But that was the tree bringing forth its fruit in its season. If we're serving God and walking with God and obeying God, believe me, in God's time, fruit will appear. Be patient. Then quickly let me point out to you that this tree, or the godly man, supplied by that sustenance that comes from the word of God, will not wither. You see what it says? Look, 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 look. It says he will bring forth his fruit, this is verse 3, in a season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So this tree has leaves on it, and they don't wither. He's sustained, maintained, by the water that he's drinking up, like a tree planted by the rivers. When it mentions the leaf here in this verse, we think of the leaves out there on the trees. and how we will soon see them growing again. I was noticing just yesterday, I think it was, that coming up in a flower bed in our garden is a daffodil. Well, there's more than one, actually. But it's just beginning to spring up. And out there on the trees, very soon, the leaves will appear. And there's something very beautiful about a tree in full leaf. But the leaves are not just there to make things beautiful. Leaves carry out a very, very important work. The leaf produces food for the tree. Now, I saw a little nod there, which indicates that you've touched upon this. The leaf takes in the sunlight, and by a wonderful process, it produces food for the tree. Man can't do what the tree can do. I might just say that. And the tree was doing it a long time before mankind ever had any understanding that this was taking place in the hedgerows of the world before the eyes of man. Well, again, remember the little word like, because what is happening there with the leaves taking in the light and turning it into food, that's like what should be happening in our lives. We have a son, S-U-N, he's called the Son of Righteousness, the Lord Jesus, that's his title. And we read of the Lord Jesus in the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 4, in fact it's the last chapter of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 4, and it says in the verse 2, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wing." The word wings there could be translated rays. Do you ever see a sunset? You look out there and there's the sun just going down, and there are rays spreading out across the sky, colouring the cloud, like wings, so that the sun appears to have great wings spread out. And that's what's spoken of here. "With healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." The Lord Jesus shall appear, arise, with healing and power and grace and sustenance in the shining forth of the light that he produces. And it will result in those who are God's people growing up as calves, full of energy. And that's the same thought that's here in the psalm. It says that his leaf also shall not wither. Why? Because it's absorbing the sunlight. And it's nourished by the sunlight. And that book contains the light of God. And if we take it in, open our faces to it, read the Bible, then we shall take in the light of God and be nourished by it, and kept every day from withering. Now, Christians do wither. They wilt like leaves in autumn time. Oh, a month before they were full of life and vigour, but now they've crinkled up and they've withered and they've lost their beauty. And Christians have the same experiences at times. And do you know why? Because they stop reading the Bible. They stop reading the Bible. And they're not nourished by the light that comes forth from the Word of God. If you read your Bible, you take in nourishment. And as a result of taking in nourishment, you put forth fruit and leaves. Isn't that wonderful? If you read your Bible, it will produce in your life fruit. One last thing. The person who follows the path set out in verse 1. "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." The person who follows that path will enjoy constant, and I emphasize the word constant, advancement and progress. Oh, boys and girls out there in the world, there are millions of books and almost as many people appearing on television and on radio and writing in newspapers and all the rest of it, trying to tell the world the secret of success. Not one of them knows the secret of success, because they're putting forth notions that are not in agreement with the Bible. But here we have the secret of success. God says, God says, not some stupid man or woman. God says, look at it, please. Look at it. Whatsoever he doeth, verse 3, shall prosper. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So that if a Christian is a mechanic, a bus driver, a lorry driver, a school teacher, no matter what a Christian is, if they walk with God, they'll prosper in their particular activity in life. Just like Joseph, remember? No matter what happened to poor old Joseph, he ended up prospering and advancing because he was walking with God. As a slave, God prospered him. As a prisoner in jail, God prospered him. As one who sat on the throne beside Pharaoh, God prospered him. Because he walked with God, he obeyed God. And whatsoever he did, prospered. Did well. Advanced. And I'm telling you now, boys and girls, I'm telling you the greatest truth that you could ever learn, that if you receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and from that moment begin to walk with him, whatever you do, God will cause to prosper. Isn't that a wonderful thing? What a wonderful thing it is to be a Christian, that we can be given such promises of good success as that which we have here. The word prosper means to advance, get better and better and better, richer and richer and richer, not necessarily in earthly money, but get richer and richer and richer by laying up treasure in heaven. It's a very strong statement here. And you will know from your English class that this is a strong statement. Look at it. Whatsoever he doeth shall. Shall. That's a word that denotes determination by God to bless and prosper the person. Can be no doubt about it. In Psalm 37, the verse 24, and here we close, we read these words. Though he fall, that's the Christian, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. It's like you. Maybe not now, but when you were smaller and just beginning to walk. And daddy or mommy had you by the hand. And you tripped. And you were heading for the ground. Only something stopped you. The hand that held you. And you stumbled. And you started to fall, but you weren't utterly cast down. You were pulled back upon your feet again by mother or dad's hand. If we're walking with him, we're upheld by the hand of God. Are you walking with God today, boys and girls? Are you saved? Has he a hold of your hand? That's the secret of life. Let's bow together now in prayer. Lord, we ask thee to bless the boys and girls today as they look around them every day and see the fields and the growing of the plants and the trees and the shrubs and the flowers. May they be reminded of what the Bible teaches. Bless the school, prosper it, Lord, even as thou hast promised prosperity here. Answer prayer for us. Keep us safe, remembering loved ones and friends who may be sick. May your hand be upon them. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.